We're holding on Chof Amud Bey's 8 lines from the bottom. We were talking about the question of who the document of the get has to belong to. So we said, for example, that if the husband says to the wife, I want that you have to that the paper that the get was written on will still belong to me, then that's no good. Only if he says, return it to me, then it'll be fine. And we also talked about, so for example, you have the an eved with a get written on him is in her possession. Would that necessarily mean that he gave the eved to her, or is it possible that the eved walked there himself? So now, continuing on that kind of topic, boy Rami Bachama. Suppose we know about a particular wooden tablet that it's hers. We know up and we know up until now this tablet has been hers. The get kosav aleha. Now we find that a get has been written on that tablet, and that would be fine. We have, obviously it could be written in ink. It could even be that the letters are engraved into the tablet. We already learned yesterday that that would be fine as well. The question is about a yotzi mitachas. Right now, the tablet is found in the husband's possession. Mahu, what would be the din? Would he be able to divorce her using this tablet with the get written on it? The question is, mi aminin aknuyak nisale, would we say that she must have been makne to him? Because again, the material of it has to belong to him at the time of the writing of the get, and then afterwards he gives it to her. So would we say it must be that she must have done that? She must have given him that tablet with a valid method of kinyan, so he could write the get on it. So now he'll give it to her, and that'll be that. Or maybe we would say that though a woman in or a wife in this kind of context does not know that she needs to be makne. She may not realize that point that the get has to belong to the husband. So she may intend to retain ownership of the tablet the whole time, and that would be no good because then the tablet doesn't then the writing material doesn't belong to him. And therefore, you don't have the Vinos on law later on. So maybe that would be the case. She may think, for example, that she can only, Tosfos says, she may think that she's only lending it to him, or she realizes obviously he's writing the get on it, but she may think she's just lending it to him for that purpose. So what would it be? Now it is true further okay so the Gemara is going to go through a few possibilities. Eventually we're going to actually answer from a Mishnah, and Tosfos points out that that Mishnah later on that says that a woman could write her own get, we have to be talking we could be talking about over there Rami Bar Chama might be saying that it means that it does in fact belong to the husband, just that she's paying the sofer to write it. So that doesn't necessarily prove anything to that doesn't necessarily prove anything one way or the other. But we'll get to that later. First, we're going to go through a couple of attempted proofs. So I'm going to buy a Toshma. Let's bring a proof from from a Mishnah in Adias. Masech the Adias we know is various Chachamim testify about things that took place, about things that they learned from their Rebbeim or actual cases that took place to establish that the halacha is so. So Mishnah says where right there that who af who that also he this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava hey da kfar kotten shahoyim Yerushalayim he testified about a small village near Yerushalayim. There was an old man there, and as the Gemara is going to say soon, the word zokin can also mean a tamid chacham. This old tamid chacham was lending to was lending money to everybody in the village. Whenever they needed a document for that purpose, he would write the document in his own handwriting and using his own paper. And others would sign because you need Adam, of course, to sign such things. So you had a regular thing over here. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is informing us that in this village, all the shtarei chov were written by this guy. They were just signed and on his own paper, and they were signed by others. The case was brought to the Chachamim, v'echshiruhu, and they said it's kosher that those shtaris are valid. Now, so the Gemara says, so Abaye says, but Amai, now, if you're going to ask that there might be a problem over there, you would say, why would it be good? It's true, by a shtar chayv, of course, you don't have all the dinim of writing get, but nevertheless, at least that it has to belong to him, you do have, in a safer mikneh v'leka, the whole concept of a shtar chayv. And the point is, what we're assuming is that since he was lending them money, it must be also that there were not only are we talking about, so Tosfos points out, we're not just talking about these weren't only loan documents, because in that case, then Abaye wouldn't be bringing a proof from it. Rather, what it is if this guy is lending to everybody in town, so everybody in town does business with him, must be that sometimes people would also do him favors and sell him things or sell him fields or with a shtar or give him gifts. So therefore, you have sometimes they would have some of these shtaris then would be ones that are going to be used to buy a field, either that the shtar itself would be the method of kinyan if it was a sale, and then later on he'd pay them the money, or that even that it would be a gift, and therefore the shtar itself constitutes the method of the kinyan. So in a safer mikneh v'leka. Now, where do we have the whole concept that you can acquire a field using a shtar? We learned that from the story of Yirmiyahu in the Naftorah, Parshas Bahar, buying a field from his cousin Hanamel, where the Pasuk mentions that he had safer hamikneh, he had a document of purchase. So we learned from that also, the expression sefer hamikna implies that it has to belong to the seller, the same way as we're saying over here that the get has to belong to the husband when he's writing it, and then he gives it to the wife. The same way with a sefer mikna, with a shtar to acquire a field, it has to be that it belongs to the seller. And here we're saying the paper belonged to the buyer, to the zaken echad. So how would that work? It must be because he's makna them the shtar. So we see. So now the shtar is shortly going to be given back to him. But we don't say that he just meant to lend them the paper for the time being. We say that he meant to actually give it to them as a kinyan. So therefore, the same thing by a get. We might assume the same thing. Yes, right. Yes, we know that this tavla previously belonged to the wife. But right now we see it in the husband's possession. We may as well assume, says Abaye, apparently similar to that Mishnah, that in fact she knew full well she has to be maknet to the husband, so you can write a valid get on it. So she does that, and then afterwards he gives it to her. So, but there's no problem that maybe she only lent it to him. So that would be a proof that would be a proof to Rami Bachama's question. That would be okay. But Omar Rava, my kusha. But Rava says, why is that a question? What makes you think that the case in the Mishnah and Adias is difficult that you need to infer it that way? Dilma zokin shiny. It might be different with a zokin. With zokin means a tamid chacham. Sure, he knows that it's not going to be a shtar unless he's maknet to them. So a wife doesn't necessarily, when she's getting divorced, she doesn't necessarily know to that extent. She may think that she's only lending it to him. She may not realize this point that it has to be that it belongs to him and then that he gives it to her. So you don't have a proof from that necessarily. So again, when you don't have a chazaka previously on the paper or the tablet or whatever that belonged to her, then fine, right? We can assume that it was his all along. But here, where we have a previous chazaka on this tablet that it belonged to her, then how all of a sudden are we saying we can assume that she knew she had to be maknet to him? What if she didn't? What if she only lent it to him and then it would be a possible get? So you still don't have a proof. So the Gemara says, okay, Ella Omar Rava Mehoch. So rather, Rava says, fine, let's try to bring a proof from a Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra. We know there's the concept of an Orev. When Reuven borrows money from Shimon, it's possible to have that Reuven will take Levi as an Orev, as a guarantor to pay off the debt. Now, the din is, first of all, the Gemara mentions there and in some other places that you can't collect from the Orev first. You have a certain kind. You have, if he's an Orev Kabbalah, then you can. But a regular Orev, you have to first try to collect from the Loiva. Only if he defaults, only then you collect from the Orev. which the Gemara mentions in some places, is unlike the current Goyish law that they had at that time, that existed at that time. Maybe the law is like that now also, I don't know, that you could go after the Oreb first if you wanted. Anyway, but you have also, there's a, within an when it comes to collecting from the Oreb, you have a difference of whether sometimes you have cases where you can go even after his Nechosim Mishabodim, and sometimes not. So if you could go after his Nechosim Mishabodim, it would mean, so again, Reuven has borrowed money from Shimon, Levi is the Oreb, in whatever way, let's say because Reuven has defaulted on the loan, then we go to Levi, and we find that Levi himself doesn't have what to pay, so we would take from Nechosim Mishabodim, we would take from property that Levi had previously sold to Yehuda. Anyway, so one case, the Mishnah says, well, you can't do that. If the Orev is written in the shtar after the signatures, the typical way would be that the Orev is there before the signatures. You have the shtar says Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on such and such a date, etc., etc., and Levi is the Orev signed, and the two Edom sign. Here we have that after the shtar was signed, the Orev writes in his own handwriting, "Vani Orev," that I'll be the Orev. So the Mishnah says, "Goyvim nechasim nechorin." You can't collect from the Chosim Mishabodim of the Orev then, only from Bnei Chorin. Because the whole point, when can you collect from the Chosim Mishabodim, is only when you have a shtar that's signed by Edim, because then it has a coil. Here, in effect, it's like a milval pet, like a verbal loan, and therefore there's not enough of a coil, and other people who are buying from Levi can't know to protect themselves, to not buy, or to demand achrayos or whatever when they buy, and therefore therefore when Shimon is going to come to collect, he can collect only from the Chosim Bnei Chorin, only from Levi's actual property. The point is, though, we do see, now here we're not necessarily talking about a Talmud Chacham, like in the Mishnah in Adias, we're just saying, Orev Hayotza La'acha Chitum Shtaris. Now, what's going on? At the point when the Orev signed it, it already belonged to the Malva, because we're talking about it was written out and signed and given to the Malva, and then the Orev comes and writes on it, Vani Orev. So how would he be making a kinyan on his own property to be able to say, a shibud? How would he be making a shibud on his own property if the shtar doesn't belong to him? Didn't we just say before you need sefer mikneh? So therefore, that shows, in other words, evidently the malva must be makneh the shtar temporarily to the orev, to the extent that the orev can write on it vani orev, and then he gives it back to the malva. So we see that anytime something like that is being done, you're actually giving it rather than lending it. Well, the same way we could say with the tablet and the husband and the wife. But again, Omer Rav Ashi, my kusha. But Rav Ashi says, why do you find that Mishnah so difficult to understand that you should need to for it that way and to say that we have to be talking about that they know that there's a problem that you're wondering how this writing on the shtar could work and you're having to answer that he's machmir to him. You could say sure he's machmir to him, but the difference is Doma Gabra Shiny, it's different with a man. Men do more business in general, so they're more familiar with the whole concept of shtaris and of how they work. He knows he has to be machmir. So the malva, yes, is going to know that he needs to be machmir that paper with the shtar on it to the oriv temporarily in order for him to write on it vani oriv, and so that he should have the ability to collect from Levi the oriv's property. That doesn't necessarily show that a woman being divorced by her husband, where women in general are less involved in business, that she should realize this may be the first time that she's ever dealing with a shtar, that she should realize she has to give the tablet to her husband so that he can write the get and then he'll return it to her. She may not know that concept. Ela Amar Rav Ashi Mehocha. Rather, Rav Ashi says we can answer Rami Bachama's question on the basis of a Mishnah in our own Masechta. It's also a Mishnah in Adias. Actually, we're going to be bringing it later on in our Masechta, but it's actually also a Mishnah from Adias. It's actually the continuation of that Mishnah before about the old man with his shtaris, where the Mishnah says Isha Kasevis as Gita, a woman can write her own get and then give it to the husband that he'll be koinet and then he'll give it back to her. Actually, we do have it later on. We have it on Chaf Beis Amid Beis. We're going to have it, the Mishnah over here. So she can write her own get. Similarly, a man, when he's paying off a debt, when he's being paid off a debt, rather, can write out the receipt himself. So, or let's say, not a debt, but a ksuba, let's say, Rashi says. So, once the husband pays off his wife's ksuba, same idea, he can write out a receipt in his own handwriting and be makne to the woman, and it works, and then she has the edim sign it, and she gives it to him to keep as a proof that he paid her. Because after all, what makes the get certified, what makes it established, is when the edim sign it, and therefore we don't really care who wrote it. The woman herself could write the get, and it would still work. So, but we see from that Mishnah, in any case, that you could also have that. So she's writing it. Now, at that point, it belongs to her. Then, though, we're assuming, though, that she's giving it to the husband to be koinet, because otherwise it wouldn't be a valid get. And then he's giving it back to her. So there you go, says Rav Ashi. You see that even in a case of a husband and wife, we can assume that the woman is knowledgeable enough to know this kind of thing, that even if the get previously belonged to her, or in Rami Bahama's question, it wasn't even the get itself necessarily, it was just the tablet that it's being written on, whatever, that yes, she would know she has to be makne to her husband in order for him to give it to her, and in order for the mechanism of the get to work. Okay, so that answers the question. Even though we knew that this tablet belonged to her, nevertheless, we can assume that everything was done properly and she gave it to him, and then he gave it back to her, and there was no lending involved, and everything is fine. Okay. Another topic. Amar Rava, kosav lo get. Suppose a husband wrote a get for his wife, the nasna biyad avda, he gave the get to his eved to bring to her. Because of l'shtar matana olav. He didn't actually. The it's not so much the eved is going to be giving it to her, but rather to get at the same time he also wrote a shtar where he's gifting her the eved. So what happens was, now what it is we talked about yesterday briefly, and we're going to talk about in more detail later in the Masechta, that it's possible to give a get without handing it directly to the woman. You can put it in a chotzer, or you can put it in property that belongs to her, and she'll be koinet, and it'll be a valid get. So here what happens is he gives the get to his eved, and then he writes out a shtar matana that he's gifting the eved to her. So now, k'na'atu miskareshes boy, so now she acquires the eved, and the get takes effect, because now the eved becomes like her chotzer. So it's called, it actually says, gita v'chatzera boin loka echad, that her ownership of the get, her ownership of the chotzer, and the giving of the get happen at the same instant. So therefore, it's kosher. In other words, had the eved not belonged to her, then it would be kosher only when she received the get. But like this, because now in the middle of there, the eved belongs to her because of the shtar matana that he gave. Therefore, the moment that she acquires the eved, she also the get takes effect at the same moment because now it's in her chotzer.
So the question is, in this case, that the property is this played in a situation that we learned a few days ago about zachen laden.
There's being zoicha in the property itself, right? The Pashto said could be an example of zochen l'adam shalem fonav. Although the Gemara is going to be saying not necessarily. The fact is that you have to have that she's accepting the acquisition of the chotzer. You always have, for example, when you give somebody a present, the other person can always turn it down. It's not necessarily zochen l'adam shalem fonav to give somebody a present. It's one thing when you're paying off a loan or something, but it's another giving them their pikadon. But here we're talking about giving her a present. No, it's not necessarily zachen l'adam shalei b'fanav, because a person might want to refuse a gift, might want to refuse a present for one reason or another. So that's we're gonna discuss that point as we go along. However, the Gemara asks, never mind the question of gita v'chatzera boin k'echad. The problem is v'amai chotzer mahalachasi. The question is, how does that work? Isn't it a walking chotzer? Because exactly that, of course, an eved can walk. An eved can walk, and therefore, so that's now the whole point, that you can acquire something through a chotzer. The whole concept of kinyan chotzer, Rashi explains, is dirabanan, and the Chachamim made that only when it comes to a chotzer that stays in one place, but not the equivalent of a chotzer that moves around. In fact, Rashi points out, Rava himself, who says the din over here about the Eved, is also the one who says in Bava Metzia that there's a difference between a chotzer that stays in one place and a chotzer that moves around. So Rava would be contradicting himself then on the face of it if he says that the Eved himself counts as a chotzer and therefore she acquires the get through that. So how could that work? The Rashba, by the way, points out, now, we did have in the Mishnah the case where the get is written on the Eved's hand, and that works. He gives her the Eved, and the get takes effect. The difference is that there, the get being written on the Eved's hand means the Eved himself is the get. So we're not talking about Kinyan Chotzer, we're talking about the actual Kinyan of the get itself. So all he has to do is give her the Eved, and that's that. Here we're talking about the Eved himself is not the get. He's the Shliach. He's the means by which the get is reaching her. So now he wants to give her the Eved, and Rava is saying that automatically, as soon as she acquires the Eved, she also acquires the get, and it takes effect. But how could that work if the Eved himself is a Chotzer Amalachas? V'chotzer Amalachas Leikona. And a Chotzer Amalachas does not acquire, and Rava himself says that in Bava Metzia. So you're going to say maybe we're talking about where the Eved is not walking. Maybe we're talking about where he's standing still in one place. Still doesn't work. Rava himself says in that Gemara in Bava Metzia, Kol she'ilu mahalach lekana, in any case, including an Eved or an animal or whatever, where he wouldn't be koined by Kenyan Chotzer when he's walking. It would also apply Omer v'Yoshev Leikana. It also wouldn't apply if he's standing or sitting. So how can this case of Rava's, where he gives her the Eved, and together with it, she's Kona, and together with the Eved, she's Kona the get, how could that work? And the answer is V'Hilchsa B'Kofus. The answer is Rava's Halacha, Rava's Din, would in fact only apply when the Eved is tied up. So when he's tied up, then he's not considered a Chotzer Amalechas. Different Rishonim talk about the detail, what we mean by kofus over here. Do we mean, for example, that it has to be that she's actually holding on to, first of all, Tosfos actually mentions that it would have to be not only that he's tied up, but also that he's sleeping. Further on in the Masechta, we're going to have a case because you have another issue, even if he's not mahalachas, even if he's not moving, you also have mishtameres shaloi ledaita. If he's awake and holding on to the get, then he's guarding it. It's not fully dependent on hudas because the eved himself has das. So Tosfos actually says it would have to be both. He'd have to be sleeping. Otherwise, if he's not sleeping, then you have that problem. But you also have to have, he's tied up, as we're saying in our Gemara over here, because otherwise you have the different issue that he's still considered chotzer malachas, because even though right now he's sleeping, he still conceivably could move. You'd need both. And different Rishonim talk about actually that, are we talking about that she actually has to be holding on to, that she actually has to be holding on to the rope. The tour in this connection brings a possibility that it might work. It doesn't necessarily have to be that he's sleeping. Yesh Omrim, that if his hands and feet are tied and she's holding on to the rope so she can control when he's untied, then even if he's awake, then yesh omim, it would be good. On the other hand, the Rosh says, like Tosfos over here, that no, it would have to be that he's sleeping and that his feet are tied. According to that, it wouldn't necessarily be that his hands need to be tied, just his feet, so he can't walk. Whatever the case, Rava's din about Nosnim Yad Avdoi and Kna'atu Miskareshes Bo, that she's Kona the Eben, and at the same moment she's Kona the Get, that would only work, again, not in a normal case where the Eved is walking around. It would have to be that the Eved is tied up and according to Tosfos and according to the Rosh, also sleeping. Then it would work, because then it's not a chotzer amalachas, and then it's mishtameres ledaita, then it's being guarded based on her das, and therefore that would work. V'omar Rava, now Rava says another din in this connection. Kosov laget v'nosne b'chatzere, suppose the husband wrote her a get and placed it in his chotzer rather than hers. And again, because of a shtar matana, and he writes out a shtar matana that he's gifting her this chotzer. Same thing, k'na'atu miskereshes boy, then she acquires the chotzer, and with that, she also becomes divorced. Now, why does Rava need to say two different dinim that seem to amount to the same thing? In both cases, he's saying that you can give her the chotzer and it works. So it's tzricha. We need both them. The Iyashmin and Eved, if we had only been informed about the case, if he had only told us about the Eved, Havamina, Dafka Eved, you would have said, maybe only by an Eved such a thing works. Avo chotzer ligzer mishurum chatzera habol achamikan. But in the case of a chotzer, maybe we should say it wouldn't work because we might confuse it with a case of something that becomes a chotzer only later. Meaning Rashi describes, suppose that he put the get into somebody else's chotzer. Then that somebody else went and sold her the chotzer or gifted her the chotzer. That certainly wouldn't work. When would it work if it's in the husband's chotzer and he gives the chotzer to his wife? So then we could say that chatzera v'gitter, then we could say gitter v'chatzera boin ke'echad. But if it's a third party that the chotzer belonged to, we wouldn't say that his giving her the chotzer makes the get take effect, because you still have to have the nos and the yobi. You still have to have the husband, not a third party, is giving it to her, unless, of course, that other guy is a shliach, but we're not talking about that. So you would think in the case of a chotzer, maybe we should make a gzera that it might be confused with that. In fact, Tosfos says it's one thing with the Eved. Again, we're talking about the Eved is tied up and maybe also sleeping. That's such an unusual case. You would say, fine, the Chachamim don't make Zeris on unusual cases. But a regular Chotzer, it's a normal enough thing to give it or sell it. So therefore, you would think that maybe if the husband puts it in a chotzer and then gives her the chotzer together with the get, we should say maybe we should make a gzera that it shouldn't work because it might be easily confused with a case where somebody else puts it in somebody else's chotzer and gives it to her. Therefore he needs to tell us that no, it does work with a chotzer. The iyashmin and chotzer. On the other hand, if he told us that it works with a chotzer, havamin a dafka chotzer, then he would think only there. Avol eved ligzer kofus alter she'ene kofus. In the case of an eved, though, you would think, look, since we're saying it works only if the eved is tied up, then maybe we should have to make a gzera. People may not realize that. They may give it to the eved while he's not tied up or not sleeping or whatever, and they won't realize that it's not a valid get because it's a chotzer amaleches. And therefore, maybe we should make a gzera, kamash malan. Therefore, Rava needs to tell us that in both cases, we don't make any such gzeras, and it's fine as long as the eved is tied up, or it's fine as long as it was his chotzer. His chotzer, that he died, not a third party, but the husband's chotzer, and then he gave the chotzer together with the get to his wife. However, Omer Abaya, but Abaya says, how does this work anyway? Now that we said Rava says these two dinim, but Abaya says, how could this work anyway? Mechti, let's consider. Meheza Israbi, from where do we have the ribui anyway? Where do we get the idea that he doesn't have to give the get directly into her hand? He can get it to her using a different method. That would be me yoda. We learn it from the fact the pasuk says v'nosen v'yoda, you should put the get into her hand, and we understand that it means ma yoda de isa ben midaito ben ba'al korcha. Now, placing the get in her hand can be done with her consent or against her consent. We know, after all, until cherem de'aben gershem, a man can divorce his wife without her consent. So af chatzera, the same way, if you're going to divorce her through the chotzer, also has to be the isa ben midaita ben baal kocha. It has to be whether she agrees to it or whether not. V'ho matona midaita isa baal kocha lesa, when it comes to a matona. So this addresses your point then. A matona, we wouldn't say zochen la'odim shalei b'fonov, because it's not necessarily a schus to have a chotzer, to receive a gift. The Gemara mentions in some other places, first of all, some people don't like receiving gifts at all, son of matona zichya. Also, you know, having a chotzer imposes certain responsibilities on you. It means that... if the chotzer belongs to you, just the opposite, you'd be collecting rent from other people. But yeah, I mean, you need to maintain the place. You may have to pay property taxes on it. You have to deal with an eruv. You have to deal with an eruv chatzeres as far as Shabbos. So it's not necessarily an exclusive schus that we would say that zochen l'adam shalei b'fanav. So in order for her to acquire the chotzer, it has to be midaita. It can't be baal korcha. How can we say that should be similar to yoda such that the get should work in the first place? So never mind the question whether the eved is tied up or not, or whether the chotzer belonged to the husband or to somebody else, how would this work anyway? A get that involves giving her a matana shouldn't be able to work because it can't happen, baal korcha, unlike giving a get into her hand. So Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, in turn challenges what Abaye is asking. He says, "But I'll give you an example of exactly that. Vashlichus the Kabbalah, consider the case of a Shliach Kabbalah, which we're going to talk about in more detail later on, in the sixth and later program of Or Masechta. So you can have like this. There can be, for our purpose, let's not get into all the various Shluchim that there can be. We're going to talk about later on, there can be three different kinds of Shliach involved with a get. But particularly, we have, there can be something called a Shliach Kabbalah, which is the woman herself can appoint a Shliach to receive the get on her behalf. So, and then as soon as that shliach receives the get, then it takes effect as if she herself received it. So Rav Shimi Ba'ashi says, look, in that case, to be dait to Issa Ba'al Kocha Lesa. So there you have an example where it has to be with her das, because obviously she has to decide to appoint this person as a shliach kabbalah. It can't be Ba'al Kocha. The Kahavish Shliach Kabbalah, and it still works as a Shliach Kabbalah. So you see, therefore, that just because you have something that can happen only midaita, that doesn't necessarily disqualify the method of receiving a get. So why should you? So what's your problem, Abaye? You're saying that the problem is who receiving the Eved or receiving the Chotzer has to be midaita. So what? So it's a Shliach Kabbalah, and a Shliach Kabbalah works. Why shouldn't these work as well? You see that you don't necessarily have to have something that could be either midaita or Baal Kocha. So the answer is Abaye. What does Abaye answer to that? He says, "Otu shlichus mi yodes rabbi." Think about it. He says, "You're talking about two different bases. The fact that a shliach works is not you're thinking. What are you thinking of Shimi Ba'ashi? It comes because it's an extension of yoda. It's not. Mi v'sholach v'shilcha is rabbi. It's because when the pasuk says that he gives her the get v'shilcha mi beisa, and he sends her away from his house, and we could have." The pasuk could have said v'shilach mi beisai. He sends from his house, and instead it says v'shilcha. He sends her. So from that we learn later on in the Masechta, we learn that the concept that there can be a shliach kabbalah from that extra. So Rashi explains. In other words, the word v'shilcha means he sends her, but because after all in the Sefer Torah it's written without nekudas, we could also read it as though the hay did not have a mapik. The mapik makes it her, that he sends her away. But we can also understand as if it was written without the mapik, which makes it into a feminine verb. V'shilcha, she sends somebody to receive the get on her behalf. So that would be a shliach kabbalah. So therefore, so Abaye is saying, it's one thing. What are you saying, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi? You're saying that you want to compare a shliach kabbalah to a chotzer, but they're two different things. To acquire the get through the chotzer is because it's an extension of yada. The fact that she can send a shliach kabbalah is learned from a different thing from the fact that it says b'shilcha. Israbi is how we're marbe. So just because a shliach kabbalah works only when she consents to it, because by definition she has to have agreed to appoint the shliach kabbalah, that doesn't necessarily show the same thing should apply by a chotzer, which we're learning from a whole different pasuk, or not a whole different pasuk, whatever, a whole different word in the pasuk.
That her
chotzer should be zoicha to her. Maybe Abaye is saying, I'm still maintaining that since the chotzer is part of yad, then you have to have it. It should be similar to the yad. That can be either Baal Korcha or Beretzon. So, in fact, Rav Shimon Shkop explains about this. What he says is basically that it has to be that when the get is placed in her hand, she has no role to play in it at all. She's completely passive. It's just placed into her hand. I mean, Lamaisa, she takes a hold of it. In principle, it could just be stuffed into her hand, and that would work. So the same way over here, it has to be that Abaye is arguing that she should have no role to play in it at all, but she has to agree to receive the chotzer. So we're gonna say though there could be a difference. A shliach is sort of Shimi Ba'ashi is arguing that a shliach is something else, that a chotzer. So you have when a get is placed into the chotzer, she acquires the get automatically. Let's say, for example, the chotzer previously belonged to her. Let's say we don't have this issue of having to give it to her as a gift. If she already previously owned a chotzer and he placed the get in that chotzer, it would work. So there's no involvement of her at all. But on the other hand, with a shliach, she has to be directly involved, and therefore, if Shimi Ba'ashi is arguing that it should work, and then Abaye is saying again that they're based on different psukim, and they're based on different psukim, and therefore, there's no proof. Anyway, so the boys Ema. So anyway, so that's one answer. You could say that the concept of a shliach kabbalah is learned from a different word in the pasuk than the concept of a chotzer. Or another possibility, as a matter of fact, you could say that shlichus kabbalah also, you can have an example where it's against her will, she can av the kabbal get the bitik tana bal kocha. Because after all, a father, when the daughter is a ktana or a naira for that matter, then he can accept the get on her behalf, whether she agrees to it or not.
Only a ktana
or a naira. But still, the point is, we do see that point, that if the husband wants to divorce her when she's a ktana or a naira, then we learn that the father still has reshus over it, and therefore he can receive the get bal kocha. And in fact, Tosfos says, not only bal kocha of the wife, of the ktana, but even bal kocha of the husband himself, of the father himself. Again, the husband could give the get to the father bal kocha, and it would work. So we see that even in the case of shlichus kabbalah, you have an example where it can be bal kocha. So therefore, so we have two possible answers to Rav Shimi Ba'ashi's challenge to Abaye. Number one was saying again, Abaye was saying that on the face of it, in order for a kinyan chotzer to work with a get, or Kinyan Eved, as the case may be, which is like a Chotzer, it has to be that it could be Bal Kocha, or it could be Luritzoyna, and here you don't have that because here she has to agree to accept the Chotzer or to accept the Eved. So one point is, we're saying, the fact that you have a Shliach Kabbalah doesn't disprove that because we learn it from a different Pasuk. But second of all, you could also say, Shliach Kabbalah also, you have exactly that those same two possibilities. It could be, in some cases, Medaita. In some cases, it could be Baal Kercha. And therefore, Abaye's objection against Rava still stands, that on the face of it, it should have to be something that's accomplished only Medaita. So how could it work? Where we're saying it does depend on her das, shouldn't it have to be that it has to be similar to Yad, where it could conceivably take place by a kocha, and here on the face of it, you don't have it because she always has to agree to accept the chotzer. Okay. Nonetheless, that's a bias objection to Rava. Nevertheless, though, Rava still leaves it as it is, that it could work that way. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Al ha'ola shel zayis v'chol. We said a get can be written on an olive leaf, or it can be written on the hand of an eved. So let's focus on that one. So the Mishnah had said, actually, in both cases, if you write it on an olive leaf, then it has to be that the leaf is detached from the tree when you write it. The Mishnah had not mentioned anything about that. The Pashtus, because an olive leaf, of course, is probably what we're already talking about, is detached from the tree when writing on it. Rather, what we said is, we're not really focusing on the Ola Shel Zayis so much, we're focusing on the next two. The Mishnah had said, you can write a get on the horn of an ox, but then you have to give her the entire ox. Or you can write it on the hand of an eved, but then you have to give her the entire eved. The point is, you can't cut it off and then give it to her. So the Gemara says, "Bishleme yad de eved,"
and
take off the horn, right? As we're going to discuss. So the Gemara says, "Bishleme yad de eved." I can understand why you can't. Why, in the case of the eved, you certainly can't cut off the hand and give it to her. Loy efshel mitzie. You can't cut it off. After all, the eved is the eved. Mitzvahs are applicable to the Eved. So Rashi says you're actually not even allowed to. Never mind, one second. For an Eved, Rashi says, because he's Shayach and Mitzvahs, therefore you're not even allowed to injure him. Now that itself, that Rashi is saying that you can't injure him, is interesting. The Rambam, in fact, says not. The Rambam writes that a master does have the right to beat his Eved, just that if he beats him too hard, then you have the Pesukim and Parshas Mishpatim, that if he kills him, he's Chayav Misa. But one second. But you could say, I guess, that maybe we're talking about hitting him versus something like that. Whatever the case, anyway, you certainly can't. And in fact, Rashi points out, after all, if he did cut off his hand, what would happen? He'd be Yotze B'Doshe Evarim. You have one or more, in this case, five of 24 limbs that that make it that if the master cuts them off or damages them or whatever, then the Eved goes free. So if you were to do that, the Eved would go free. So obviously you can't do that. Ella, Keren Shapara, but in the case of a horn of a cow, what's the problem? Liktzi of Alesmila, why not cut off the horn and give it to her? Why do you have to give her the whole cow? And the answer is Amakra, because the Pasuk says, V'chosam v'nosan la. The Pasuk says that he writes a Sefer Christmas, a get, and he gives it to her. So that implies, Misha inim achosu el ksivo nesina, meaning that it has to be that the only thing that's lacking is to write it and then give it to her. You can't have to have, you can't have that there should be a yotzezesh machosu ksivo ksitzo nesina, as opposed to a case where you have to first write it, then chop it off, and only then give it to her, then that wouldn't work. So if you're giving her the whole cow, then fine, there's no ksitza necessary. So therefore, that would be valid. But if you're going to cut off the horn, then that would be that you have to have another step before you give it to her. And the pasuk is implying by putting the chosav and then v'nosan that you can't have any other steps, and you can't have any other steps that are needed in between the writing and the giving.
Before the process, if you cut it off, is that
problem? If she cuts it, or if he cuts it off beforehand, obviously that's fine. If he cuts it off and then writes the get, then that's fine. There's no chiddush in that, though. The chiddush is that he can write it while it's attached to the animal, but then he has to give her the entire animal. Now, first of all, further on, further down, the Gemara is going to discuss the point that it can't be attached to the ground at the time when the get is written. Actually, we're going to have that in the next Mishnah. So there are Mefoshim will explain. There are Achronim will explain. Basically, you have two different dinim over here. You have one that can't be attached to the ground because then you can't really do Nesina at all. Then you can't really give it, because it's attached to the ground, or the only way to give it would be by giving her the ground, and we just said before, that might be problematic. But you have a separate thing that it can't be cut. You don't have to, even if it's something detached from the ground, like a cow is not attached to the ground, nevertheless, you can't have that you're cutting it from where it grows. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here about the question, what about, if you're not talking about where it grows at all, what about, for example, you take a very large sheet of paper and you write the get on it, and then you want to cut off the blank parts, and then you want to give her the get. Would that work or not? So Tosfos first brings from Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam says that would be fine. Only when it comes to animals or plants where you have grows over here, and now you want to detach it from where it was growing, then you have the problem that mechusak tzitza. But if you just have that it was a large sheet of paper and you're cutting off part of it, that wouldn't be a problem, says the Rashbam and Tosfos. But then Tosfos goes on to say that they're not Rabbi Yitzchok, but Rabbi Nachman, Tosfos says, one of the Balei Tosfos, such a case happened in his times, and he said it's possible, and everybody else argued with him. And in fact, the Halachas Gedolos is also apostles, and Rabbi Natam is also Machmir, and Tosfos gets into a whole discussion about that. So Lamaisa, to write it and then cut off the extra before you give it to her, use a very large sheet of paper and then cut off the extra before you give it to her, that might be a problem. We might call that Mechusak Tzitza as well, even though we're not talking about cutting it from where it naturally grew, but just the fact that you're cutting off part of it. So it's one thing, for example, when you have cutting off small amounts, we talked about yesterday, cutting out the margins maybe might work, like the space between one line and the next. We talked about a few days ago, cutting off the date and giving it to her. Such small trims might be fine, but not cutting off large pieces. So Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch, it says that, the parchment for the get should be sized for the get before you start writing on it. Because otherwise you have the question over here in Tosfos whether it would work. Okay, in any case, with the horn of the cow, definitely we're saying, since that's where it grows in the first place, then it has to be either be detached before you start writing the get on it, or if not, then it has to be, the whole get has to be there, the entire cow has to be there. Okay, next, the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yosef Aglili said, you can't write on anything living or on food, so he would say it is possible to write on a cow's horn, because the cow is alive. For that matter, he would also say you can't write it on Evan's hand for the same reason. So my time at the Rabbi Yosef Aglili, why does Rabbi Yosef Aglili say that? And the reason is, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says Sefer. The Pasuk says that the husband writes about Sefer Christus, a document of divorce. Ain't the other Sefer. Now, from that, you would only know it has to be Dafka, a document written on parchment, and so forth, with all the regular dinim of... with all the regular dinim of a sefer. So minayim l'rabbis kol davar. How do we know that it includes other kinds of things as well, as we've been learning the last couple of days, that you could write on anything? Tamad loymar v'chosav lo mikol mokum. Therefore, the pasuk says he writes for her, implying no matter what, it's always kosher, even if it wasn't written on parchment. Im kein ma tamad loymar sefer. Then why does the pasuk write sefer in the first place? It should just say v'chosav lo without the word sefer. And the reason is, so the Braisa says, really is saying, ma sefer davar she'en bo ruach chayim, just like a sefer, a piece of parchment that is not living, af kol davar she'en bo ruach chayim, ve'en oichol, and it's not food, af kol davar she'en bo ruach chayim, ve'en oichol. The same way, anything else you write a get on, it doesn't have to be parchment, it's true, but it does have to be something that's not living and there's not food. So that's where Rabbi Yosef really is getting to pass all such things. Virabonon, what are the chachamim answer to that? Tosfos, by the way, points out that you could have thought to say maybe the v'chosav and the sefer is a klal of prat, and then we would say it's limited dafka to the prat. And then Tosfos says, yeah, but then the pasuk continues v'nosan b'yada, which makes it a klal again. So you have klal of prat to klal, so therefore that's fine, and therefore it works like that.
Still a problem if it's alive.
So therefore, well, that's what Rabbi said. Really, is saying that's a problem if it's alive or if it's food. Yeah. And then Tosfos Reed also brings this point that he's that you have a klal of prat over here, a klal of prat of klal, like Tosfos says. Okay, anyway.
You're writing a leaf, and the leaf is going to spoil in the day too.
So that's what we said. At the top of the omelet over here, there's a Tosfos, which actually we discussed on the Mishnah, that says that, yeah, if we're talking about, like, for example, an onion leaf, which is going to dry up very soon, then you're right, it wouldn't work. We're only talking about it works with an olive leaf, because olive leaves will last longer. Well, they'll eventually dry up, of course, but they'll still last, and they'll still be solid for a long time to come, yeah. We talked about, by the way, yesterday, a deeper idea that Reb Levick brings in his Chedrushim on Shas and Teres Levi Yitzchak, that there's a deeper idea behind mentioning Dafka and olive leaf, because olive leaves, because then all of itself has to do with the connection of Chochma and Bina, and therefore husband and wife, whereas a leaf is more Chitzoniistic to it, and therefore represents the separation of them. So Rabbanon, what are the Chachamim answer to Rabbi Yosi Aglivi, to his explanation from the word sefer and from the klal prat to klal? They say iksib bas sefer kedikamer. If the pasuk had said that he has to write bas sefer, which implies in the sefer, then you're right. Then we would say it means on parchment. And you would say that if you have a klal prat to klal, it means it's including things that are similar to that. Hashdichtiv sefer, but it never actually said, it doesn't mean bas sefer or bis sefer or whatever. If it said the word in a sefer, but since it just says sefer, I have hashdichtiv sefer, when it just says sefer Christos, it doesn't even mean that it has to be anything similar to parchment at all. It just means that it has to be a document that tells over what's going on. That tells over that they're saying Hariat Muteris L'chol Adam, and so on and so forth. But nothing to do with it being written on parchment. In fact, the Ramban says, this is where we learn. We talked about yesterday that you have to have the name of the husband and the wife and the city. Where do we get that those have to be written in the get? From, we're saying, Sipur Drarim, the fact that it has to be a recounting of what's going on. So we have to write in there that Pliny is divorcing his wife Plonius from city Plonius. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara, therefore the Chachamim say you can't learn from Sefer that it has to be similar to parchment. Well, the question is, Rabbanan hai v'kosav my abile. So what are the Chachamim doing with the word v'kosav? Rabbi Yosef really again is saying that Sefer means it has to be parchment, and v'kosav means it can be other things that are similar to parchment. But what are the Chachamim doing with that word v'kosav? The answer is meboiluhu b'chsiv miskareshes ve'in miskareshes b'kesef. They need it to teach us that she can only be divorced with a shtar, with a get, and not with money. Now, why do we need that? If the husband gives her a pruta, then that wouldn't work. Sakra and Chamina, without that, you would have thought, Akish Yitzia Lahavoya. After all, you have a hekish between the yotz and the base of a hoch of a hoys of the ishachar, the pasuk says. So therefore, you would think that there's a similarity. Mahavaya Bekesef, just like her becoming
engaged
and not engaged, or becoming Makudish to him, it takes place through money, one of the three ways. After Tzia Nami Bekesef, the same way the going out, the divorce, could also be accomplished with money. Kamash Malan, therefore, the Pasuk would be needing to tell us that not. So, therefore, they say that's what we need the Vakasa for, not to be part of Rabbi Yosef Agriva's Klala Prat. Okay, the Gemara asks the Idach, how does Rabbi Yosef really learn that? He says, Nafkalemi, Sefer Krisus, Sefer Kursa, the Indavar Acha Kursa. He says, yeah, but you can learn that in a different way. Since the Pasuk says, Sefer Krisus, a document of divorce, from that we learn only the Sefer, only the document could cut her off from her husband and make them divorce, nothing else. The Idach, what are the Chachamim answer to that? They say, Mibarla Davar Kurdis Vein Levain. They say, no, what you need to learn from the word Sefer Krisus is it has to be something that permanently cuts off the relationship between them, not something where there's a T'nai that will still be in effect indefinitely. Kedetanya, as we learn in Abraisa, suppose the husband gives the wife a get, and he says, Hareza Gittich Amanas Shalei Tishti Yayin, this is your get, but it will be in effect only as long as you don't drink wine, or Amanas Shalei Teuchel LeVesavich, or as long as you don't go to your father's house. If he says in either of these conditions, La'olam, that this should be forever, Ein Zeh Krisus, then it's not Krisus, and therefore the get is not valid, because you haven't completely cut off the connection between them, because you still have the T'nai in effect. Which Tosfos points out, now eventually the father is going to die. However, he's still going to have descendants, and they're still called, therefore that can still be called Beis Avich. In fact, Tosfos says, you see by Tomer and Yehuda, we see that Tomer's father had already passed away, and Yehuda tells her, Shvi Amona Beis Avich, go sit as an Amona in your father's house until Shelah grows up. So we see that even though her father had passed away, it can still be called Beis Avich.
Also by the current.
By that's true. By Mordechai and Esther, that's true. He uses it. That's true, right? Okay. So that would be considered something forever, and therefore that's no good. But ad shloshim yom, it is a crisis. But if he says you shouldn't drink wine, the t'nai is you won't drink wine or go to your father's house during the next 30 days. Then fine, that's crisis, because after 30 days, therefore the t'nai will have taken effect, and there's no more connection between them.
But if she just breaks that tonight one time,
if she breaks that tonight, then that's different. But in fact, Rashi elsewhere in Shas brings that since it can come to Krisus during the 30 days, really Minatoda should be allowed to marry even during the 30 days. Midrabanan, maybe not, because we were afraid, what if he breaks that tonight? But Midaraisa, then she could, yeah. Anyway, the point is, so therefore the Chachamim say that we learn that from the expression Sefer Krisus. We rather than you, Rabbi Yosef, really want to learn from that gerushin take place only with a shtar, not with money. No, you can't learn that from Sefer Krisus. From Sefer Krisus, you have to learn that point that there has to be Krisus. The fact that you can't use money, you have to learn from the fact that it says Sefer, or from the fact that it says v'chosam, rather from the fact that it says that he writes. So the Idach, what does Rabbi Yosef really answer to that? He says, Mekoris Krisus. He says you can learn both, because the pasuk could have said Sefer Koris, and instead it says Sefer Krisus. Therefore, you can learn both things. Number one, that a Sefer is what causes her to be divorced. And number two, that it has to be Krisus, that it has to be completely cut off and not an indefinite tonight. So therefore, he says you can learn both of those from there. Therefore, you have the word v'chosav available to teach us to be part of a klal, a prat, a klal, and therefore to say that it should be similar to a sefer, that it should be similar to a scroll, a parchment, and therefore that can't be living or food.
According to that, it can't be written on one of the
animals. No, so that's what he said. That's exactly what he said. It can't be written on the horn attached to an animal because it would be alive, right? Where's the Chachamim answer? Koris Krisus loy Daushi. They don't Daushi like that. They don't hold it. Could have said Koris, and instead it said Krisus. They don't hold that. That's a significant difference. That's just the Dibber Koloshim Neodam, and therefore therefore you can't learn anything extra from that. So therefore the Chachamim, in other words, are saying from Sefer Krisus we have to learn that it has to be Dover Akkordus Bein Levena, and it has to be something that completely cuts off the connection between them. Therefore, they need the word V'chosav to teach us that you need to write, that you can't use money to effect a divorce. Therefore, they don't have V'chosav available to teach us anything about a klal, a prat, a klal. Rabbi Yosef really, meanwhile, says you can learn from Sefer Krisus that it needs to cut off the relationship between them, but also that you need a get rather than something else. Therefore, he has V'chosav available to teach us as part of a klal, a prat, a klal, that it has to be something similar to a sefer, something similar to parchment, in that it's not alive and not food. Right. No, that can't be money, is something else that he's learning from the word Sefer Krisus. Yeah. say for Christmas, meaning Dafka say. Okay. Mishnah says, Ein koistmin b'mechob l'karka. You can't write a get on something that's attached to the ground. So we just said before, you have the point that it can't, that it has to be cut off. But again, we said before, there are mephoshim who explain that there are actually two different yudodim over here, two different issues. One is it can't be attached to the ground, because then you can't have a proper nesina. And then you have, even if it's not something attached to the ground, if it's something like the horn of an ox or the hand of an eved, also you can't have that it's cut off in order to, also that you can't have that, that also that you can't have that you cut it off before you give it. So two different dinim based on two different criteria.
So you kind of before you give it, what's the sign?
So in other words, there's two different things. Rishonim actually already explained this, that you can have, it can't be attached to the ground. So in other words, let's say, for example, forget about detaching it. What if, for example, he were to write the get on a tree and give her the tree? Then that's what the Mishnah is saying would be possible. And the idea is because then you don't have the Venus. So the Rosh explains because you don't have the Venus and the Yada, then you don't have, can't give it into her hand because it's attached to the ground.
Give her the rights to the tree.
Doesn't matter whether you give her the rights to the tree. The fact is, you're not, it's something, has to be something that can be physically given over. And the Rashba gives a reason because the word safer implies that it has to be something detached from the ground. Still, even the Chachamim, we just said Darshan the word safer differently, but they agree that it has to be something that it can't be Mechover. We had also the point, we had an Amud Aleph that has to be something that you give her, that you could give her Baal Korcha, and here you can't because she would have to accept the tree as a gift. So you have that point also, that Or Sameach makes that point. So that's one din. Separately from that, you have a din that when it's attached, you can't detach it and then give it to her because then you have the problem of Chosuk Tzitza. They have two different dinim over here. Number one, you can't give it to her while it's attached to the ground. And number two, that if it's something that to begin with was never attached to the ground, but if like a horn of an ox, for example, then you can't detach it from the ox before giving it to her.
You have to give the whole
ox. You have to give her the whole ox, right? So in other words, in short, so if you write a get on a tree, it's possible to begin with. You can't make it kosher at all because there's no way because if you keep it attached to the ground, it'll be possible. It won't be venosan. It won't be venosan, and it won't be like safer. And if you detach it, then it'll be mechosik tzitza. And as far as the mechosik tzitza, we just said that okay, you have to have that you cut it from the, that you cut that you can't have that you cut it after you write it. And then in the case of the horn of an ox, you only have the one consideration that it would be mechosik tzitza. Yeah. So the Mishnah says,
a chatzah, fine,
but it has to be a detached, it has to be a detached get that's placed in that chatzah. Okay, so the Mishnah says, ein koistmin b'mechobel l'karka. So you can't write a get on something that's attached to the ground. Koistmin b'mechobel, what if he wrote the get while it was attached to the ground? Tolshoi b'chosvim b'nosnila, but then he pulled it out of the ground and then he signed it and then he gave it to her kosher. Rabbi Yehuda posel, adshtek sivasi v'achsimasi v'tolish. Rabbi Yehuda says it's posel, unless both the writing and the signing would be done when it was detached. So according to the, if we say that it's kosher when it's detached before signing, then that would be because edich simakarti. Why Rabbi Yehuda says that not? Then we'll see. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, ein koistvin, here's another din, a separate din. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, ein koistvin loyal on a Yoram Mofuk. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you can't write a get on paper that was previously erased, the loyal diftera, or on diftera, which is parchment that has not been completely tanned. We talked about the last couple of days, we talked about the afotzim, the gall nuts that you treat it with to make a white writing surface. Before that, before it's treated with that, it's called diftera. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you can't write a get on such a thing, because when it was previously erased, or when you haven't treated it with gall nuts, it's able to be forged. You could write something, and you could erase something, and it wouldn't be noticeable. So conceivably, the husband might have written a tnai in the get, and now it was erased, and we won't know whether it was added afterwards or whether it was removed afterwards. In fact, Rashi points out, the Edim would be signed. What you could do is you could have, for example, that he could erase the entire, you could have the whole thing was written on erased paper, for example. Then you're going to, you have the Edim signatures are also on the part that was previously erased and now is being written. Now you're going to erase the entire get with some Tanai that was in it and rewrite it. And therefore, that's no good. But Chamachshirin, the Chacham say it's kosher for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off, what do you mean kosval mechobar? We're saying if you write the get on something attached to the ground, then we're saying it can be kosher as long as you pulled it out of the ground and signed it. Bahamut Resha in Kosvin. Didn't we just say that you can't write on something attached to the ground? And the answer is, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rosh Hashir Mokam HaTorif. The answer is, it would work only if you wrote only the Tofes while it was attached to the ground, not the Torif. The Torif is the essence of the get, the names of the husband and wife in the city, the parts that vary from one get to another. Also, the words Hareat Moteris L'Choladam, which is the central formula of the get. All of those are called the Torif. Most everything else is called the Tofes. So if you wrote the Tofes attached to the ground, now after all, when the Torah says, because of the Nosan, that you have to write it and give it, that means only the essence of the get. The whole rest of the boilerplate text of the get is not really required in our Torah. So therefore, it would be fine to do that attached to the ground. In fact, Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta explains that then, according to that, when the Mishnah uses the word chosmoi, it doesn't mean like the usual meaning of chosmoi. We mean the Edom signed it. It would actually mean he completed the get. Like the Chosmein or the Chaim Tovim or whatever. So he completed the get when it was detached. Now, Rabbi Yochanan also adds the point, necessarily, therefore, we would have to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Lazar, Dom Edim Asira Kauti. He says that anyway, the Edim who are watching the get being given over, they are the ones who make the get take effect. So in other words, there's two ways of looking. When the Torah says the word v'chosav, does it mean that the Edom have to sign it, or does it mean the writing of the get itself? According to Rav Elazar, the word v'chosav refers to the writing of the get itself. So therefore, the writing of the get itself has to be done in a way that's kosher. V'chokikamar. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying, ein kosven tofes shema yichtav Torah. You shouldn't write even the tofes while the tree is attached to the ground, because you may forget and write the Torah as well. Cost for the tofus, but if you wrote the tofus, the tolshoi, and then you pulled it out of the ground, cost for the totif, and then you wrote the totif for nos nila, and you gave it to her kosher, then it would be kosher, because now it's all good. The totif was written when it was detached from the ground. According to Rabbi Lazar, now you've been mekayim v'kosav, because writing the totif is what's called v'kosav, according to him, and now you're giving it with Edim Asira, and therefore everything's good. On the other hand, Resh Lakish says, the fact is the Mishnah does not say anything about Tofus or Torif. The Mishnah uses the expression that he signed it, that he pulled it out of the ground and then signed it. So that implies that no, the entire get, Tofus and Torif, was written with it still attached to the ground. So how could it be kosher? Resh Lakish says, no, our Mishnah would go like Reb Meir, Doma Edi Chassima Kauti. He says the Edom who signed the get will make it take effect. According to him, the v'chosav of the pasuk is referring to the signatures of the Edom. The get itself, the whole formula of the get, tofes, todef, everything can be written by mechuber as long as it was detached before the Edom signed it. And that would be according to the mayor, the Edich Simakati. So the Mishnah would be saying, Ein kosven todef, gzeira shemiyachim. You shouldn't write. You could, in principle, write the whole thing attached to the tree, but you shouldn't, because you shouldn't write the Torah while it's attached to the ground, because you might come, the Edom might mistakenly sign it while it was attached, and then it would be possible. Plus for the Torah, but if he wrote even the Torah when it was attached to the ground, Tolshe, then he pulled it out of the ground, Chosmo, then the Edom signed it, the Nosnila, and then he gave it to her kosher, then it would be kosher, because we would say the Edi Chasima are the ones that when the Pasuk says V'chosav, it refers to them. Okay. So that would be only according to the mayor, right? So two different ways of understanding the Mishnah. One is the Mishnah is talking about where they only wrote the Tofes attached to the ground, and then they detached it before writing the Torah, and we're saying b'dieved that would be kosher, but b'drabanan you shouldn't do that. Or we're saying the whole thing was written in mechuber, and only the signatures were done b'tolush. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, talking about dinim in this connection, more about dinim in this connection about things that are attached to the ground and detached, and how it relates as far as gittin and as far as other areas in halacha.